We have Baruch Hashem the zuchus of coming back to the Gra. I have to tell you that the Gra was my constant companion on Yontif. In fact, the third day of Chol HaMoed is the yard site of the Gra, and I had the opportunity to once again review some of the biographical ha'aris that are made by his children, by Reb Chaim Volozhin. And it's really incredible. But one of the things that I spoke about in Shul was his famous Igeres HaGra. Now, it's very interesting because the Igeres was not written for the Hamoin Am. And I'm wondering to myself if anyone ever asked the Gra permission to be mefarsim the Igeres. They must talk about that somewhere. But the Igeres HaGra has some very powerful nekudos, and the things that he emphasizes in particular, and the way he speaks to his own mishpacha, you would not imagine that these people grew up in the environment of the goyin. He talks to them with such a starkeit about basic things, about talking lashon hara, kibud av va'em, and I realized that the goyin did not feel confident that environment alone will do the trick, that just your upbringing, that this needs constant reinforcement. You always have to fight the Yetzirah. When you learn Mishle, by the way, at the beginning of the Igeres HaGra, and this is the reason that I mentioned it on Shabbos Chol HaMoed, is quotes without hefsek, one pasuk from Koheles after another. One pasuk after another. I don't know for a fact, but I suspect that of any sforim that are mentioned of the Kisvei HaKodesh in the Igeres, the preponderance, the vast majority, are from Koheles. And several from Mishle. By the way, he tells his wife and his daughter that they should be careful to learn Musar. And this goes hand in hand with what I was saying. Not just to read the Igeres, but to constantly learn Musar. And he tells them that Mishle is the best Musar Sefer. It's the only Musar Sefer that you need. It's a very famous expression. But there he says also you should learn Koheles, which is very interesting. So in the Sefer Mishle that we have, you have constantly that there is a Yetzer Hara and the different aspects of the Yetzer Hara. And it seems that the Milchama with the Yetzer Hara, this is the Iker Milchama that a person has in life. You can't rest on your laurels, you can't rely on your yichus, you cannot consider that yesterday's hatzlocha will guarantee today's and tomorrow's hatzlocha. It's always a struggle. And in a way, that gives us chizuk. If he has to tell his b'nei bayis with baktzeina, I imagine that ma'ne anana basrayu, like so, we're not any better. So no matter how, it's not that we're terrible people. It's just that the Muhammad is a very, it's a tremendous struggle. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam put inside of us this tremendous tension, which is the brunt of Sefer Mishle, really. And the Goyin's telling them that the fight and the struggle is enormous. And the Sur Meira of that Igeres, by the way, is much greater than the Asay Tov. He tells them a number of Asay Tovs. They should make sure not to give up the Chaimish that he was mitzava them to give. And then he says, if you don't give the Chaimish, terrible things will happen. Now, it's interesting. We give Meiser. But the Goyin insisted that you have to give Chaimish. And the Vazbis are Yivazbis Yosem Yechaimish. But Chaimish you have to give. Now, where did they get their money from? They got a certain taktziv from the city, from donors, achveis. They don't know what they did. They didn't work. But whatever it is, they had a... maybe they did work. I don't know. Maybe the women worked. The Goyin didn't work. But maybe the women worked. And Bikitsa, he did not end up going to Eretz Yisrael. And nobody knows why. Nobody knows why the Goyin in the end did not go. he answered finally when he was bothered to give an explanation, min hashamayim ikvuhu, from Himmel they prevented him from going, but he never explained what that's all about. Never. And it remained a mystery ad hayom. So the Goyin, we are picking up in Mishlei after a long break, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Dalet. Be'ein tachbulois yipol om, u'seshua b'roiv yayetz. That this idea of seshua b'roiv yayetz is mentioned more than once. In fact, there's one Pasuk that I didn't mention, b'roiv yayetzim, but several times in Mishlei scattered around, this idea that Teshua is Barov Yoetz. The Yeshua comes only with Eitzah, and the Eitzah apparently requires outside counsel. It's not sufficient for the person to consult himself. Because we have our biases, we have our negiyas, we have our blindness. So the Goyin says as follows. I always break it up so that you should see clearly the points that he makes. Be'ein tachbulei sipol am, if you'll follow with me in the notes, k'she'ein oisin tachbulei s'milchama, eich lahamid achayil usharei dvarim, yipol afilu mish yeshloi amrov. In other words, these are tachsisei milchama. You have to plan, and the game, the war plan, in the war room has to be something that you plan in advance, because no matter how many soldiers you have, you might lose the battle if you don't have a plan. So he says, Eich lahamid achayel, we're to position the soldiers, ushari dvarim, yipol afilu mish yesh lo amrav. So that's the first point that's made here, and of course Mishlei is Misholim. So we are not speaking to generals and to kings, we're speaking to us. The Mishlei is talking to us. So what are our soldiers and what plans do we have to make? So the Goyin will explain. But the first point that the Pasuk says is that it's not enough to have many soldiers. You have to know how to position them. And all the other aspects of the war plan, the battle plan. U'sishua b'rov yoetz. What about the second half of the Pasuk? Ki im yiyye echad al kol anshei ha'melchama, shall piv yetsu val piv yavou velo acherim zulaso rak echod hu levado eino tov. If everything is based on the decisions of one person alone, and he's the only one that is consulted by the king, that's not good. Ki seichel enoishi efshe litois v'oyle b'sichle shehu tov. He comes to a maskana that something is good v'be'emesu eino tov. But the im yiyu, and here so far is pretty self-evident. But now the Goyin is going to tell us an interesting chiddush. He says, if you're not going to rely on your own seichel, so what will you do? So the answer is, you'll consult with others. So now you have the problem of kedera de beishutfe lo chamim velo kariri. If you have everyone's input, who's going to come to the maskana? So by committee, he says that's not good. He says, V'im yuyu ha-pechosim, pecho is a leader, v'asagonim rabim, shlo yetsu v'yavou, rak al yidei kulam, the enemies will be challenged by the army. The army is yetsu v'yavou, they come and they go. So the pasuk he's quoting, of course, he's referring to a pasuk, al piv yetsu v'al piv yavou. So yetsu v'yavou, rak al yidei kulam, right? Bepeh achas, they all have to be unanimous, and they all have to decide together. Zegam kein einu toiv. Ki ein daitan doim ezeh lozeh, v'ein seichel odom shav ezeh lozeh, v'zeh yi oimesh atzasei toiv, v'zeh yi oimesh atzasei toiv. And they'll never come to a maskana. So if you have a committee, you have a problem that the committee's dais are so different. How do you come to a conclusion? Lochein, einu toiv rak sheyiyu rabim sheyisyatzu. You have to have different opinions offered. V'zeh omer atzosei, v'zeh omer atzosei. V'chakach yemezumen lehem oid echad, sheyireh kolo eitzeh shal kulam, v'yivareh mikolo eitzeh eitzeh toiv unachoyna, v'alpiv yavoyu, v'alpiv yiyeh kol hamilchama. So you have to have the final arbiter. And it's interesting that the Goyin here seems to insist that that person is outside of offering his personal opinion. See, normally we would say, the first amongst equals, the one who is the biggest maven, the most successful general, but he's offering his opinion too. Now, he has a very interesting thing. The Vilna Gaon says, "Benageh the churban beis hamikdash." Right? So the Gemara says that and the sanusa shows a bischarya ben avkulas hechriva es mikdashenu. You know the ma'aseh with kamtzim by kamtzim. So finally, this man who we sort of have compassion for, I always point that out in the tkufa of the 9 days. I always point out that the person that we're having so much compassion for, Nebuch, he was jilted, he was thrown out, all the chachamim were there and they didn't say anything. He was a Rasha Marusha. He was a horrible person. And it's very remarkable that the whole story develops that way. You know, it's not pshat that he's a big tzaddik. He offered to pay for half the meal, the whole meal, just they shouldn't kick him out, because he couldn't tolerate the embarrassment. And he couldn't tolerate the idea that here he thought that he was being befriended, and in fact, nothing of the sort. So this incredible conflict within him caused that turmoil. But where does turmoil go if you're a tzaddik? It goes that you daven to Hashem. It goes that you sit and have yourself a good cry. It goes that maybe you say something terrible to the person that wronged you. I'm not meichel you. I'll never be meichel you. And later you calm down. But to go and make a churban of Klal Yisrael. There's a Rasha Marusha. I mean, it's important to be aware of that. Anyhow, what happened? So he made a mum that according to the Romans was not a mum. So therefore, they did not see any problem in being makriv that carbon. But of course, in the Beis HaMikdash, they couldn't be makriv the carbon normally. But this was sakonas nefashos. So there was a whole machloikas whether they should be makriv it or not be makriv it. In the final analysis, because of this individual, says the Gemara, who said that they should not be makriv it, because there'll be people will say they're makriv balimum al gabe hamizbeach. The Churban came about because he then went, this Rasha, and he went ahead and he told the Romans, you see, they're rebelling against you. Whoever heard that the authority should send a Karban to the Beis HaMikdash, and they will refuse to be makrivit. And he, of course, they did not investigate what the issue was, apparently. They sent the army right away, and it created what it created. So the Gemara says that his Anova was responsible for this. So the Vilna Gaon wants to know, what does it mean that his Anova was responsible? So he says a very interesting thing. This was a din in a fascist-like situation, because it wasn't just a matter of being makriv the carbon. It was a matter of why to be makriv, why not to be makriv, was engaging the Roman anger. The Roman ire was now going to descend upon them. This was din in a fascist. What's the halach and din in a fascist? Who do you ask first? So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that din in a fascist maschilin min atzad. You always ask the inferior, the lowest level. Why? Because once the first one is the biggest Talmud Chacham amongst them, and the one who has the greatest authority, if he says in the negative, everybody else kind of follows along. Because he's making an argument, the argument sounds strong and sound. Who am I to disagree? I'm the lower man on the totem pole. The problem was that Reb Zechariah ben Kulas was the gadol, but he considered himself the least because he was a tremendous anav. So he insisted on going first, because the lowest goes first. But since the olam in the Sanhedrin recognized him for his greatness, so they didn't want to disagree. And Mamela, it came out that way. So it's a very remarkable thing, because that dovetails so perfectly with one word that he says in this Pirush. He says an outsider who was not part of the negotiations themselves should come to the final maskon. It's very interesting. Because who knows if the opinion of this big, obviously he's somebody special. You're not gonna go and have this big machloikas of the different interests to go to the top of the mountain, the bottom of the mountain, to go when the sun is in this direction, the sun is in that direction. Do you set your cavalry first? Do you set your infantry first? You're not gonna go and be misyayitz. Finally, there's a big machloikas this way, that way, to a nincompoop. So obviously he's somebody special. If he gives his opinion, then it could be that all the other opinions will tailor themselves accordingly, and then you don't have the truest Merav Yayetz. So says the Gra, that the aside is, first of all, you have a number of people who are the Sagonim and the Pachosim, the people who are capable and knowledgeable, and the generals, but the chief of staff then hears everybody's opinion. But he doesn't give his opinion in the negotiations of this side and that side. But when he hears everybody else's opinion, he's the one who's the arbiter of the maskana, and this is what they do. So that's the lashon, I believe, when he says, "Lachain einay toiv, v'akshiyu rabim shi'siyatzu b'zem atzazu atzazu v'chakach yemezuman lahem oid echad." What is oid echad? And mezuman lahem. It sounds to me that he's waiting in the wings. Shehu yireh kol ha'etza shalkum is pretty obvious. V'yivareh mikol ha'etza etza tov v'nechana v'al piv yavo v'al piv yireh kol ha'melchama. And the guy is very interesting, because he says that's the pshat teshua einarag b'roiv v'aleyem yoyetzachot. He wants to know roiv is the plurality or a large number, so yoyetz should have been also in the plural. And it's very interesting, because a number of other mefarshim, in their own way, also wonder about this and give a pshat based on this. What is teshuos beroiv yoyetz? Beroiv is many, and yoyetz is one. But what is the goyin's pshat? It's very clear. He says you can't have one person decide from the very beginning. Has to be a roiv. Means there has to be a number of people arguing back and forth, but finally there has to be that yoyetz. So it's the combination of the roiv plus the subsequent final decision on the outsider who comes in and weighs all the different arguments that explains the pasuk b'roiv, but yoyetz is in the singular. Now, since it's mishlei, v'osat es tzitan mituns. How does the goyin work this into our milchamis hayetzem? Zok de Gra. Yeah. I didn't say it right. So the Goyin did not elaborate how this has to do with our own Yetzirah. So the Mefarish, who put this together, Mishlei, which was not written by the Gra, but was written al pi haGra, that's the parentheses here, he's being Mevayer. What is it exactly that the Goyin had in mind? So he writes, "For inyan hu b'tayra u'b'mechemes yetzahara kloimar shi'siyayitz b'libay tchila u'b'libay hu atzas rabin." Very interesting idea. I'm not confident that that's the only possible pshat, but he says that the rabbit means he has to analyze the different stodim that are playing within his own heart. He says, because the lave is not one derech. Ki libo shel adam noite lekan ulekan, uledrochim rabim, v'chiesh derech ish yosha, v'chol derech ish yosha be'enov. L'chein achaka ki yira bat teura, v'lo yismoy chal atzmoy, shekol ma sha teura maskemes yase. V'zehu bi melochim yimloichu, kloima kol ha'etzois bi misyayetz. Now, what trouble do I have from this? I don't understand something. If the Torah tells me to do something, or the Torah is giving me advice about something, I have to first go to the back and forth of what's going on inside of my heart. I go straight to the Torah, whatever the Torah wants, that's what I have to do. So the Goyin's idea is that first you have the Yoyatzim that argue back and forth, and then you have the final arbiter who summarizes everything and comes to a maskana which way to go. So if we are going to use this, which l'chayre it is, not just advice about kings and warriors making battle, but this has something to do, as a mashal, with our daily lives, so then we would have to look at something where the final yoyetz the final Yoyetz is not the Torah itself, because if the Torah itself, I would suggest, is the final Yoyetz, it should be the primary Yoyetz and the middle Yoyetz. It's the only Yoyetz. So what's the pshat? So this is what I would like to suggest. What I would like to suggest is just a little bit of a knetch over here, that when they talk about Yoyetz, they mean a person. They mean a person. Who's that person? That person is the Rebbe, the Rav, the Amud HaTorah, the Sar HaTorah of that Makom. And what's the pshat? So this is what I would like to suggest. It's a little deeper, and maybe that's what he meant in the final analysis, but I don't see it in the words of the Mefarish. It seems to me that when a person goes to a Gadol, right off the bat, he really wants to hear what he wants to hear. Now, this is accomplished in a number of ways, and this is a problem which is so rampant. I mean, I encounter it all the time. Lamashal. A person comes to one of the Gedolim, a genuinely accredited Gadol b'Yisrael. Everyone is masking that this man has real Das Torah. Das Torah basically is the pure lesson of Torah which is not filtered through any other pipe. That's Das Torah. People make a big mistake about what Das Torah is all about. It means that you can respond with the input of the Torah which is exclusive. That's the point. Not with the goings on of the world and the input of philosophers and the input of Kaifrim and the input of Paishim, which have somehow or other, you know, merged with your Yediyah Satayra. That person is able to respond and tell you what the vision of Torah, what the understanding of Torah is in that situation. Bamed Varim Amurim, Rabbi Sai. This is such a critical point, and it's a very big problem. Lamaisa, Bamed Varim Amurim, if the positions and the issues are presented to him in the full measure, in the entire range and gamut of the details of that matzav, what happens is, and this is because no one ever said that Das Torah is Nevuah. No one ever said that the Gadol, whoever he is, that has genuine Das Torah, is Mashiach himself. By Mashiach it says, V'harichai, he's able to be Moirach V'doyin. He can smell the truth. He knows the ends. We are still in the level of Al-Pishnayim Eidim Yokum Dovra, and we don't know the emes. But what happens is, if somebody gives me all of the information, and I have Das Torah, and I have a clarity of the picture as it really is, so my chokhmah, my hisyatzus, responds to the multifaceted issue according to the many different parts that belong to that issue, and then I give a Das Torah maskana. However, you have a typical example. A person is in a sichsuch with his wife. This happens, unfortunately. He has a certain perspective. Even if he thinks he's presenting the wife's side as well, it's still a certain perspective. And that's obvious. It doesn't need to be elaborated. So if you come to a gadol with a perspective, the gadol listens to what you're saying, and he hears his side is like this, her side is like that, from him. Or from her, because they're not both there together arguing it out. Most Gedolim don't have the time, push the time, the physical time, both because they're sitting and learning the whole day, and also because a sikhsuk is a whole isik. It could take days and weeks to figure out some sort of truth. You may need psychological analysis as well, because the people come with all kinds of biases that you have to break through by making them aware of what their biases are, so that they could rewrite the script before they hand it in. Now, who's going to have the time to be able to listen to all of that? And it's much worse than that, because you come with your biases because you really want the Gadol to say X, Y, and Z. You come feeding him the lie. So if my wife, she mamish, she doesn't feed me. She doesn't feed me. I'm starving. Look at me. I'm totally emaciated. So you call up the wife. He gives me 30 cents to buy a quart of milk. The man is loaded. Till I get a penny out of him, I could die. No soul. You understand? Now let me ask you something. The Gadol hears that he's emaciated, and he hears that she doesn't want to feed him. So go back and tell your wife that it's a mitzvah in the shibudim that a wife has for her husband. She's mechuyev to feed him. So the Gadol nishken zin in ganzen. This is a litzanus, what I just said. It's tam, a moshel ba'alma. Some of these are very complicated. Person calls up one of the gedolim, even on the phone. It doesn't, you don't even have access, so you call up on the phone. Phone, it's mamish, the clock is ticking. They don't charge you $400 an hour. But the clock is ticking, because life is that way. The clock is always ticking. There's another call waiting for him. Or he had to interrupt the call to answer this call. So it's not shpilkis. I want to know if I should do this shidduch. You know what complicated that is? Do you know how difficult it is to figure something like that out, if it's at all possible, b'chlal? So the person presents fact A, B, C, and D. Let's even assume that the person's willing to give them the 5 or 10 minutes and listen carefully, without any interruptions and without confusion, and the clarity of the presentation is excellent. And with all of that having been said, who says that this person's presenting the truth? The truth, stam. If they really want an answer, they may twist the truth, the kavana, or the truth because they don't know the truth themselves. They don't know what the truth is that they're presenting. The chosin's like this, the kala's like that. Should I break the shidduch? Wait, you call somebody up and in 5 minutes they give you an answer, and then you say that was last time I'm breaking the shidduch, or I'm not breaking the shidduch. So I think that the pshat here, this is mamish meisim b'chol yoyim. Meisim b'chol yoyim. I asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Let's see what you asked. Let's see how you asked. Let's see who did the asking. How much time did this take? And no one, especially Reb Chaim, is going to tell you that he has nevuah that regardless of what you say, he's going to come to the exact maskanas hadvarim. In other words, there's a caveat. What I answer to you is based on what you tell me. But the answer based on what you tell me is filtered exclusively through the filter of Torah, which is an unbelievable thing. But hafal pike. So that's, I think, what the Goyin meant. The Goyin meant that you have to have that clarity. Sometimes it's inside of me, if I really am honest and I am able to argue the positions out first and present them to the Gadol. Sometimes I cannot be ever capable of doing that because I'm too biased, or it's too much of a negiah, or I'm too blind, and therefore I'll have to have the other tzad present it to him. And then there needs to be a lot of deliberation. And then the Torah, meaning not the Torah itself that I consult, means the Adam Gadol, who's the Sarah Torah that I consult, is allowed to make that final decision. There are a lot of people, by the way, who are not Goyer Stas Torah at all. And there's a little bit of an apikursus there. And they say that we have to come to our own maskanas, and there's no such thing as farming out decisions to other people, the chlap, no matter who they are. So that's missing that last component. And that last component is critical. But if you don't have the middle component, the last component is a warping of the whole idea of das. I think that is the real pshat, even though the Gra never fleshed it out, in the Maskona Sadvarim, how does it relate to us in the Muhammad with the Yetzer Hara? Now there's another pasuk, by the way. Our pasuk says be'ein tachbulos yipolam. In other words, it expresses itself in the negative. When there are no tachbulos, then no matter how great your army is, no matter how powerful you are, you may lose the battle. Taksisei milchama are critical. And so the great generals are able to have this, you know, many, many battles were won, even though they were fewer soldiers than the enemy. Because they were brilliant. I mean, you know, brilliant generals. This is a special kishrin. And the there are books that are studied, games, the war games that are studied in the war colleges in the different countries that recreate these battles and see what was it, what was the ge'onus of the general that he was able to outsmart the other side. It's a little bit like studying chess games, you know, from the gedolim and figuring out how it is that they came to this ability of winning the game when both of them were equally brilliant. So the negative is be'ein tachbulos. But there's another pasuk which is very famous, and that's in the positive. Betachbulos ha'aseh milchama. You wage the milchama with tachbulos. Pasuk chav, perek chav dalet pasuk vav. Ki besachbulos ta'aseh l'cha milchama u'seshua b'roiv yayetz. Very, very interesting difference between the first pasuk and the second pasuk. Not just the negative and the positive of the same thing, but look what we're talking about in our pasuk. Yipol om. That means we're still talking about the mashal, not the nimshal. But the remez to the nimshal is built into the pasuk in Perek Chav Dalet, because it says the individual. Now, which milchamas are individuals fighting? You know, we're not talking about David and Goliath. We're talking about within ourselves. So that's why kibitachbulois ta'ase l'cha milchama is not yipol om. So there's a second difference about this pasuk. And interestingly enough, the goyin here goes almost in the opposite direction. He doesn't explain the mashal at all. He goes right away to the nimshal, and he gets very involved. I don't want to go into the protim of this, just that betachbulos neged a mitzvah shem mitzvah sasei mitzvah slois sasei shalohen tzarich milchama lil choyim biyitzrei hara ha'oirev loy levat loy mi mitzvah sasei u'mesisei laver a mitzvah slois sasei. So here he says, black on white, the Gra himself, what it is exactly betachbulos ta'ase l'cha milchama. It means the individual. So what milchama is the individual fighting? He's fighting against his Yetzirah. And the Yetzirah is always trying to undermine him. This is the gent, by the way, I said it at the beginning of the shiur today, but I'm going to repeat it again. The Goyin believed 1,000%, I mean, you see it in Kamat, all of his writings, that there's no such thing as a free ride, you know? I mean, we talk about Tzadik B'Tivoy, and we talk about all kinds of things. He felt, what's my biggest value? That he said about himself, if anyone only knew the Yetzer Hara that I am battling all the time. So no one can understand what's possible Yetzer Hara is he battling, when he never let the Yetzer out through the door. You understand? But the fact that he ever said such a thing is frightening. So the biggest and the best, and that's what I told you before about the Igeris. He talks to them. You know, he says to them that you should better not go to shul. Better not go to shul. Why? So why not? He says, because you're going to come to shul and you're going to see women dressed in finery. And you're going to get jealous. And in your jealousy, you'll end up saying a Lashon Hara. Who's he talking to? These are people that grew up in his Dalet Amos. Who's he talking to? The teretz is that could be good, 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 good. And then one day you go into shul and you see this young lady dressed in the finery, whatever it is, and you say to yourself, you know, how come I don't have such a thing? What do you mean, how come you don't have such a thing? You have much more. Remember that they said, maybe you could corroborate it, but they said about the Kapishnas that one lady came in with her daughter and she wanted to cry her heart out that Nebuch, when the Shidduch comes to her house, so that they already lose their time for the whole thing because they have a junky floor and the place is in shambles, and who's going to take such a girl? The poverty is written all over. Who's going to want her? So they say, you know, the Kapishnitzer, they say about him that he never went to sleep with a penny in his pocket. he took out a substantial amount of money. He says, here, go buy a carpenter for yourselves. So the daughter of the carpenter, that's what a story I heard. I can't vouch for anything. But the daughter said, Abba, we don't have a carpet. He says, yeah, but you have the carpenter, sir. So, you understand? I mean, the point is that you're talking about the children of the Gra, the wife of the Gra. You're not talking, stop. That's my point. It's just that you're talking, they should also have these segregation. The Teretz says, yes. The Teretz says, yes. It's an incredible thing. The respect for the Yetzer Hara that the Goyen has is Adir V'Naira. Adir V'Naira. Respect. So you have to fight him. So he says, Ha'oirev Loi. Oirev is an ambush. He's waiting in ambush. You know what waiting in ambush means? Waiting in ambush means you don't even realize he's there and you're walking by and all of a sudden he's on top of you. So this isn't the matzah that, you know, you can anticipate even. So you have to, tachbulos, you have to figure out in advance that you should be able to ward off even the ambush. And it's a tremendous thing. And the truth of the matter is, it's so pashut, madness. It's really so pashut. Let's take a look at the Malbim, because the Malbim fleshes out this point, really, that we are making. Ki betachbulos tasel chom el chomam koriskati shemil choma ein day be'etza achas levad. It's a very long, drawn-out, complicated scenario of one Eitzah plus another and another. Sheneged kol Eitzah sheyamid ha'oyev, ha'yoloi Eitzah acheres kenegdo. You know, whenever you have these war games, so the people who are responsible for the country and for the safety of the country, and there's an enemy who's figuring out all kinds of things, they have to figure out a tree of possibilities. In other words, what if they do this? What is going to be our reaction? But on the other hand, maybe they won't do this. Maybe they'll do something else. And this reaction won't be of any benefit at all. So what will we do then? And then how do we anticipate without knowing which of the mahalchim they'll take to be able to be prepared in either way? And so on and so forth. That's what the Malbim is talking about. So he says, because everybody has his bias, what's the right way to go? You have this business with Iran. It's a shrek l'chazach. But you have this question of sanctions versus going out and dropping some bombs. Now, dropping bombs sounds like very, you know, let's get them. Let's get them before they get us. And then you start thinking about it, and you get into a big punter. What does it mean getting them? How long will we delay? How much legitimacy do we have? How much are we making them the underdog? A bomb falls and all of a sudden 10,000 civilians are killed and the whole world is out to get you. They want to destroy your whole country, but Israel are Jews, and Jews are not allowed to get away with things like that. So it's very complicated. So what do you do? So the truth in the matter, some matzavim, you just have to daven. That's the truth. But because you'll never know. But this is it. Shekeneged kol eitzah is another. Ki kol mina eitzah is kulam tzrichim. V'zeh lokach l'moshol el milchemes hanefesh im oivav. Sheloi tenat seyach, you'll never win b'koyach ha'chochma levad. Shehu yoyetz echod miyuchod ki gam ha'oyev bo be'eitzis ha'misnagdin la'atzas ha'chochma. V'tzorech sheyiskapsu kol yoyetzay hanefesh ye'chochma bino v'adas. Shebekoyach ha'das shehisig ha'kol b'yediyah brura yamid ha'tachbul. Basically, he paraphrases exactly what the Vilna Gaon said. I imagine that he had that in mind. So it's a very remarkable thing. Chochmah is only a certain kind of chochmah. All the koiches hanefesh have to be merged in the battle against the Yetzer Hara. Because the Yetzer Hara has chochmah too. It's a very interesting thing. In the Tashbitz, you know, the Tashbitz wrote a very important sefer on Pirkei Avos. It's called Mogen Avos. And the Tashbitz points out, you know, there is a lot of marbe, avodim, marbe shofim, you know, and so on, marbe bosom, marbe rima. He says when they get to this one marbe, marbe etza, marbe tevuna, right? He says nobody explains it. He says there's not a Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos on that point. There's not a Rashi. There isn't even, he says, a Rabbeinu Yonah. So like, it needs to be explained. So he's going to try to explain it. So he says, V'nirali, third line, in the middle of the line, in the Magen Avos. V'nirali, Shahamar b'litol etza hu moisif lekach hu meivin dova mitoich dova. Simen l'dova. Yisroi shenosan etza limnoi shoiftim. Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha-shalom hoisif limnoi slahamid mishpat ha-shoifet. V'akosif oime v'shomei ala etza chocham. So the first thing he says is that marbe eitzah marbe tvuna is that when you get the eitzah from someone else, then you, with your koiches, are able to take advantage of that eitzah, amplify it, and apply it in the most perfect way. So Moshe Rabbeinu gets the eitzah from Atasecha Zemikolom Anshechayil, etc., and then he knows how to apply it to create the Sanhedrin. The Eish Mefarshim ki hakosuv choser. V'tzarech loymer v'shoymeya l'atzas chocham chocham. V'ani oymer, because the pasuk in Mishle Yud Beis that he quoted is shoymeya l'etza chocham. So they say l'atzas chocham is a chocham. Who is a chocham? Who listens to the etza of another chocham. And he says, no, I say ki mikram olehu, ki ein etza l'sochol, right? Ki im niv'ara. V'ksha oymer v'shoymeya l'etza, Hadova Yodua Shemi Chocham Yotza. Vechain Omru Beperik Ein Bein Amudar, Im Yomelucha Yelodim Beneu Zakenim Sisar, Shmal Zakenim Altishmal Yelodim, Shebinyan Yelodim Stira, Ustira Zakenim Binyan, Vesimin Ladova Rechavam Ben Shloima. You know what happened with Rechavam? That he was asking the people, how should he relate? You know, there was a tremendous angar. People were very meshubit to the building of the Beis Hamikdash and the palace of Shlomo HaMelech, and they were very. He had a lot of people meshubit to the Malchus, and the question was, what about now? So the Chachamim said, go easy on them, lighten the burden, and the Na'arim amongst his advisors, the young bloods, you know, the firebrands, they decided that, no, on the contrary, you know, he should continue with the great works of Shlomo HaMelech, make himself a famous name, and Adarabba, he should impose his rule upon them to be even greater and stronger than Shlomo. So he says, Avi hika eschem bashoitim, v'ani ak eschem ba'akrabim. I will take, you know, akrabim is the, you know, the nine-tailed whips, you know, the really heavy stuff. He beat you just with simple whips, and I will beat you with those heavy cat and nine tails. So Fashteitzach, that made the people very, very desperate and angry and rebellious, and they followed Yerovam wherever he led them. So this was responsible for the split of the Malchus between Rechavam and Yerovam. So he says to Tashbitz, listen, the Eitzah of Chacham is built into the word Eitzah. You don't need the word Chacham. Because if it's not from a chacham, it's not an eitzah, and you can recognize it right away. I mean, I would almost beg to say, if you can recognize it right away, how did Rechavam make that mistake, you know? He heard about this, don't he? How come he couldn't figure out that the stira zakenim is binyan? So the Teretz says, because he had a negiyah, so it's not so pashut that you always know what the chacham is saying is chachma. Maybe you think that what the Tipish is saying is Chochmah, because you are inclined in that direction to begin with, to hear what the Tipish is saying. But in any case, this is what he says. Now, one more thing. Roiv Yoyatzim. A, right? The quotes of Pasuk in Mishlei Tezvav Chav Beis. Remember I told you that Roiv Yoyatz also has another Pasuk, Roiv Yoyatzim? So this is the other pasuk. It's a Mishlei Tezvav. Mishlei was busy with the idea of Shuos v'Roiv Yoyatz. But here it is in the plural, Roiv Yoyatzim. So he says, Ein Eretz Eloima Ribu Yoyatzim, Shereksiv B'Fesha Eretz Rabim Soreha, U'Ba'odem Meivin Yodea Ken Yarek. He says in Mishlei Chav Ches, it says on the contrary, too many Sorim is very bad. It's a recipe for disaster. Abu Rotzaloimar Gedoil Hayoyatzim. He says Roiv Yoyatzim is like Rav Yoyatzim, meaning the greatest Yoyatz of all the Yoyatzim. V'takum chayzer el ha-machshava, ki ha-machshava tufar b'li kibbutz chachomim b'vostom l'isya'itz, v'afilu hayu machshavois l'abois, v'tiskayim al yedei gdol ha-yoyetzim l'oysen eitz n'chayna, l'tzav machshava toiv el ha-maise. It's kemat like the Vilna Gaon at the beginning. He says there are many yoyetzim, but there's one person that's able to make it l'maise. The only thing he doesn't say here is that he comes from the friend. Even if it's one eitzah. The word amida has to do with eitzah, because an eitzah that's oimed means an eitzah that is not of the moment. It isn't a superficial eitzah. It isn't a band-aid eitzah, you know, which solves the problem for 5 minutes and then makes the problem even worse later on. But it's an eitzah that lo ilum tamid, that sas Hashem lo ilum tamid. V'yesh mefarshim. Uberoiv yoatzim tokum shav el ha'etza ki ilu omar uberoiv yoatzim etza tokum kama shekosuv atzas Hashem hi sokum upirshu b'sheini misanhedrin etza sheyesh b'dvar Hashem tokum. And then he quotes Mishmar Medrash Tehillim and the end of Yevamos Nizkar ki Rav rotzol l'nados l'Rav Shila shehitir mayim she'en lahem soif u'shmu chaveru yoatzai shlo yinadeyu ad sheyishluchu loy Lama he took Cain. The who I shiv ki loyhoyo matu Cain, but maim shayin lam saif. El shachasha bais the maim shahoyo lam saif. The keel is rab lishmuel alatsasa the carlo of true abroad yayates. Ki ha adam noishamili kashal ba atsas gedoil yayates. The zeb moira ki rive enoi ribui ki hoyo loyma rive yayats and veloy rive yayates. Harisha be ribui eats adam marbet vuno maven dova mitok divrei ha yayates. Ope ribui. Hanoshim ein chokhme vein tuna vein eitza kvar omr chomos umusad atzaz hanoshim sha'al atzaz hanoshim v'asei hofchon. Someone said about certain Rav who was a big Talmud Chacham but he didn't have such great deis that you should always consult him and do the opposite and you'll be alright. Anyhow, what is he talking about? So this is a very important sugya, and I bring you the sugya in full. This is the halacha. It's not the halacha, but this is what the Gemara is discussing before the Maskanas halacha, which may be different. But the discussion here is not to tell you the halacha, Baruch Hashem, we should hope that it should never happen, that somebody's husband should fall into a water, yesh lahem saif, ein lahem saif, that we should worry about being matir, the woman, from being an aguna. Of course, the body never showed up. So the question is it possible here, in this shtickl gemara, the question is this. Is it possible that the person did not drown in the end, but the reason you don't see him, of course the kasha is why didn't he go home, but the reason you don't see him is because he managed to go into the water, but climb out on the other side where it was not possible to see him, or to hide in a... the Gemara speaks about the fish digging out little cavities where he could stick his head and still breathe, etc., until he gathers his strength and climbs out at night or whatever. The bottom line is they distinguish between Mayim Sheyesh Lahem Saif and Mayim She'ein Lahem Saif. And actually, Mayim She'ein Lahem Saif is not a riot that he died, because he could have gone beyond where you can see, you know, and swum to shore and you wouldn't even know. But if it's Mayim Sheyesh Lahem Saif and there's a, you know, like an agam, a little lake or whatever, then where could he be? We would have seen him if he climbed out. So Mamela, he must have drowned. I mean, in those days, they couldn't dredge the lake and the divers and so on and so forth. So they had to come to certain maskanas based on chazakas and likelihoods. So the Gemara tells us a very interesting maise. Hahu gavra, the tova ba'agma de samki. Rashi says on Agma de Samki, look further down in Rashi, in the middle of the Amud, Agam shal oisem makoim. Agam is a marsh. Balaz. Oimed b'mekoimoi ve'eno mayim chayim k'mayim sheyesh lahem saif domu. She'eno yochel loshut al pneim l'mei rochoik hilkochim isa de solik havechozolei.
If he would have climbed out, they definitely would have seen him, and therefore you can assume that in this particular waters, he drowned, because he's not climbing out. There's no idea that he climbs out on the other side and you wouldn't notice. So that was the maisa. Hahu gavra de tova ba'agmo de samki, he drowned in a marsh.
In Sivar Rav Shila Lidavisu, after making an investigation that in fact that's what happened, that he fell into these waters and never reappeared, Rav Shila allowed his wife to marry. You understand? In other words, he was matir her as an aguna, and she's not an aguna, she's allowed to marry. Amalei Rav Lishmuel Tonishamte. When Rav heard about this, he said, let us go put Rav Shila into Chayra. What does that mean? Is that he deliberately violated the halacha and allowed an eishes ish to get married. Not an eishes ish vaday, but a suffolk eishes ish. Because they learned the halacha differently. And Rav Shila should have known that. Amalei Shmuel answered Rav, don't be so hasty. Nishlach leibereisha. Let's find out exactly what that was all about. Shokalei, they asked him a shayla. What's the halacha? Mayim she'ein lohem soif. Ishtoy Asura Umuteris. They wanted to know, how does he paskin about this main point? Because they looked at this agam as a mayim she'ein lo himself, and therefore he could have climbed out on the other side without our knowing it, and therefore she should still be Asura. So they wanted to know, what's your opinion about mayim she'ein lo himself? You know, a very, very large lake, etc. Sholach Luhu, he responded and said, Ishtoy Asura. Oh, so he is paskining correctly. So he's not going against the halacha. The agma de samki mayim sheyesh lehem soif or mayim sheein lehem soif. So they asked him, so tell us, this kind of water in the marsh, what halacha does it have? So he says it's a mayim sheyesh lehem soif. In other words, it wasn't a mistake about the halacha. He knew the halacha and he paskened according to the halacha. What? Just a minute. Amenut. That was his today's maskana, but that wasn't his maskana when he paskened the shayla originally and was matir to get married. In other words, now he realizes that this kind of marsh is in fact, you should have paskened, she can't get married, because it's equivalent to mayim she'ein lehem soif. So at a calm moment, in other words, when they were just asking him the halacha, he got every point right. But it wasn't the way he paskened originally. But it wasn't because he paskened against the halacha. He paskened against the metzias. Because he had a misunderstanding of the particulars of the marsh. That's the point that the Gemara is trying to make. So, mar my taima avad hachi, right? Mita ta'ina. I should have had mita ta'ina on the next line, but in any case, anos avri, kivan de kavu v'kaima kamayim sheyesh lehem soif dami. Since they are still waters and they don't travel, it's like mayim sheyesh lehem soif, even though it's a large place, v'loihi. Kivan de ika gali eimer gali ashpalu. So, alright, there are waves and the waves pushed him forward. It doesn't matter. The point of the story is not so nogeya as much as the idea behind it that Shmuel saved Rav from putting him into Chayra. Because now that they realize that he just made a Tolsa, I mean, people are human and they make Tolsa. He misunderstood the technicalities of this Agam and how the Agam relates to the Halacha, but he didn't paskin against the Halacha. He paskin according to the Halacha based on his misunderstanding. So the Gemara says, yeah, Kari Shmuel Alei de Rav, lo yu'unel a tzaddik kol oven. A tzaddik does not have anything bad happen to him. Because Rav was about to do something terrible. You know, you put an Adam Gadol, a Paisik, into Chayrim. First of all, nobody's going to listen to him anymore. And on and on and on. I mean, it's terrible. It's mamish, a destruction of a person. But if you have to do it, you have to do it. But now that they realized he was Beseder and he wasn't paskening against the halacha, he wasn't the reformed rabbi. So they of course they left him alone. So Rav Shila's reputation remained intact. So this was what Shmuel said, that Rav was saved from making this terrible mistake of ruining Rav Shila's reputation. So what did Shmuel say? That it's really Rav's chus, correct? You know, it's like Rav had the chus that he didn't end up putting him into Chayrim as he originally intended. But Rav answered to Shmuel, Utshua b'rov yayetz. In other words, what Shmuel is advising him to, let's first ask the question of Rav Shila before you put him into Chayrim, is really what saved Rav. So you'll take a look, a very, very nice pshat. in the Aruch Laner about this Shtigl Gemara and the Edelkeit. In his Hakdama to Maseches Yevamos, the Aruch Laner says something in the name of his father. He writes, and he quotes the Gemara of Kari Shmuel Alei Derav. Kari Shmuel Alei Derav lo yu'une letzadik kol oven, Kari Rav Alei de Shmuel utshua berov yoyetz. Hishmionu Musa Haskel midas hatzadikim v'goydel an v'sanusam. Sheshmuel shehitzil ba'atzasei l'rav l'val yikashel, lo rotza sheyitlu hatoiva boy u'b'chokhmasai. He didn't want that the... Shmuel could have said, ha-ha, from now on, you better consult with me before you ever go and try to do these unusual things, because I have more sechel than you do. You know, maybe I'm calmer than you are, or whatever it is. And he said, no, it's your schus that you will need so, because you're a tzaddik. Well, you're in a tzaddik of. So he says, that's what it is. Lirmoy, loyani, it's not me. Elot tzidkas rav hitziloi. We'll stop here, but I just wanted to. I mean, the shtickle of the Aruch Laner. You can look at the rest yourselves. But I thought it was a very beautiful thing. They were both, in a certain sense, removing from themselves the gaiva that it was me that did it. So each one was toiling in the other. Each one is toiling in the other. It's very interesting. Somebody comes and gives me an Eitzah, and I am gung-ho to put him in Chayra. Isn't it possible that somebody say, let's ask him? He says, what is there to ask? There's nothing to ask. It's black on white. It's probably black on white. The man paskened against the Beferish Halacha. We got to remove him. So who says that he would necessarily listen? Rav and Shmuel are fighting all the time about all kinds of issues and halachas. Rav and Shmuel. So, Mechatesa. So I was thinking to myself that sometimes the very fact that you listen could be because of Loyun and Tzadikolov. That Gufa could be. But the way it is over here is very beautiful. There's no reason to say anything different. Of course, on this idea of lo yu'une tzadik kol avim, there's a tremendous problem. What's the problem? So I'll just mention the problem, and we'll continue Bezus Hashem on Monday. The problem is that we see sometimes that tzadikim are nichshal. Nichshal in psak, nichshal in even isurim. Pam achas kara v'hita. Everybody knows that. He says, I'm not going to, I need ekra v'loyate, I won't tilt the candles on Shabbos. Pamachas kara v'hita. So how could that happen? Lo yu'une letzadik kol avim.
Rav Shila himself in the story.
And of course, Rav Shila himself, exactly right. Which some people bring up, that Rav Shila himself is the best example as well. He says, lo yu'une letzadik kol avim. So how could it happen to Rav Shila? Maisa, we're saying Rav Shila was a tzaddik. So the mainstay of this problem is Tosfos in several places, Tosfos and Tosfos HaRosh, which is also the Tosfos, in several places in Shas. Exubis and Gittin, the most famous one I imagine is the one in Gittin, because that's what everybody learns, Gittin Bab Zion Day. Most people get at least that far. And very famous Tosfos. So I have the Tosfos here for you as well. And of course the various Gemaras that are related to this in Avodah Zarah and in Chulin. And I bring you the Tosfos as well. In the Tosfos, the one I bring you in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, but the different Gemaras that I bring, so that's very. There's a lot to be said about it, and I don't want to say it so glibly and so quickly. We'll wait for next time. Also, next time there's a very important piece in the Mesilas Yesharim in the Inyan of Anova, and the. There is also very interesting Maran, you know, the Breslover, on the idea of Eitzah from Chachmei Hador, and finally, much earlier in history, of course, a very, very essential Pirkei Rabbi Elazar that we really ought to know. So I have all of these Makairas. Bezus Hashem will continue Bezus Hashem next time.